This is the one. This is the fucking podcast of all podcasts. It's the motherfucking Holy Grail. It's like, get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here.
You know, I think that we'd be shocked if we walked through some of our schools today from USA Today. Today's schools are cursed by an increase in swearing with language that would stand a sailor's hair on end. In a recent poll of high school principals, 89% said they face profane language every day. How sad, Jack. Our teenagers.
You are now listening to the world's stupidest podcast ever. This is the GTFOH podcast. We have no idea what the fuck we're doing.
Oh, shit. Shiz, niddle, bam, starooks. What the fuck is going on? Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. What is this? Hello, my friends. How you doing? Welcome to the GTFOH podcast. My name is Recognize. My friends call me Rec. It's Billboard Baggins if you're nerdy. It's Billy Baggins if you're
nasty.
And I want to welcome you back to the motherfucking show, episode 66.
Get the fuck out of here.
And if you don't know, now you know. We back out here. It's been a pleasure to get the show started, season 2023, since we're no longer doing season numbers. It's been a tricky couple days for your boy this past week since our last episode. Been suffering some health hurdles. I'm going to call them health hurdles. They're not like ailments, but they're like they're pains in my fucking ass. Not literally my ass, but like, you know what I'm saying? I'm having some like old people shit that's happening to me, you know, aging shit that I'm not fucking feeling, and it's pissed me off. Oh. Fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here.
Whatever though, enough about my bullshit. Let's see, where's my comment overlay? I'm trying to see y'all on here in the live chat. Make some noise for everybody that's kicking it with us live on Twitch. Hello, Gavinas. I do have a way to see you guys on here, and I don't know where the fuck that is right now. It's not showing it to me. Come on. Oh, there it is. Oh, no, that's not it. That wasn't it at all. There we go. Oh, there we go. I got it. He can be taught. Yes. All right. D-Sin said, it's weird being the same age as old people. I mean, you know what I'm saying? They came out with a study this past week that was saying that people mostly feel 25% on average younger than they really are. And I got to agree with that. You know what I mean? For the most part, I also feel younger than I am in my mind. You know what I'm saying? But then when things like this past week happen to me and I start like, I'm suffering from eye strain. Meh, like, I feel my age. I'm about to be 40 in this bitch. Make some fucking noise for that shit.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's right. But I'm still alive. I'm still here. All right. And really what I want to say to you guys is I'm not dead yet. All right. And so until my last dying day, my wishes shall be, and it'll say this in my will as well. I want everyone to know I had a great life, especially because I got a ton of head lines.
Getting some head.
At 11, pay more at the grocer, but getting less will tell you how to get the most.
The fuck are you doing?
We need to acknowledge an unfortunate mistake that I made and one of the teases we bring to you before this program. While we were live just after 10 o'clock, I said a word that many people find offensive. I'm truly sorry. It was a mistake on my part, and I sincerely apologize.
All right. Weird technical glitch on my side. Could y'all hear the theme music? Could y'all hear the Give Me Some Headlines theme music? Because I couldn't fucking hear it on my side. That was very strange. It was not playing for me. But it looks like it's playing for y'all. So I might be doing some of this show blind. Fuck yeah. All right. Fuck it. Here we go. Let's fucking get straight to it. Ain't nothing to it but to do it. If you're feeling a little bit like you might be lost or misplaced in this world and you don't, you know, maybe it's the winter weather's been fucking you up, or you're feeling a little bit older like me, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, whatever it is. Don't worry. There's a place out there for you. Is this heaven? No. It's West Virginia.
A handful of states and cities are offering incentives in hopes of finding new residents. One of the top destinations, West Virginia. ABC's Kenneth Moten has more.
Tina McPherson is on the cusp of a new adventure and major life change.
Really excited. A little nervous, but really excited.
A fourth-generation Washingtonian, her roots are deep, but she is pulling them up and moving west. West Virginia, that is.
It's just a simpler, slower life, and the cost of living is, like, incredible. Great people, great atmosphere. We're right near the lake.
McPherson is one of nearly 8,000 people who have applied to ascend West Virginia. With the end of the pandemic in sight and the world opening up to remote workers and digital nomads, a handful of states and cities are offering incentives to sweeten the deal in hopes of finding willing city dwellers like McPherson who will pick up and move. A state with exceptional beauty but a shrinking population. Ascend West Virginia hopes to entice telecommuters to have their Zoom calls from Appalachia. The bait? $12,000 along with passes to a variety of outdoor activities for a year. That's $10,000 divided up in monthly payments for the first year and $2,000 at the end of the second, all to indulge in the state's allure.
We have been the frogs that are now really truly proud of their own pond.
The funds for the remote worker program through West Virginia University.
Welcome to wild, wonderful West Virginia.
Donated by Brad Smith, the former CEO of the software company Intuit, and his wife Elise. Smith, a Mountain State native, gifting $25 million. The state has the sixth highest poverty rate in the country at 16%, several points higher than the national average. With nearly 280,000 West Virginians living in the poorest conditions, the goal of Ascend is to dismantle generational poverty by injecting new life and money into the state, focusing on home buying, supporting local businesses, and community engagement.
It's a bold step toward making West Virginia the most attractive state in the nation.
But there are major cons the state is tackling. A dual health crisis unrelated to the COVID-19 pandemic. The state is at the epicenter of the opioid epidemic, and it has the most concerning HIV outbreak in the country, according to the CDC. The Appalachia region runs from northern Mississippi and Alabama all the way up to southern New York.
There are pros and cons of being a small town. I mean, I know everyone here. And that's, I would definitely call that a pro.
But locals call West Virginia the heart of Appalachia.
We come from humble beginnings, and a lot of people are still in those humble beginnings. And it's all about community here, being able to lift each other up.
Community is exactly what's driving people to the Wardensville Garden Market, a social experiment and food-based nonprofit founded by Paul Yandura to elevate this little northeastern corner of the state. The program creates sustainable businesses around town, like a market, a farm, a bakery, and a glass-blowing studio.
Lots of times people feel like we found something here, but it's been here. I mean, the students, the families, the history of the town.
Yandura and his husband Donald moved away from D.C. nearly a decade ago. They were looking for the simple life. They found it, and an opportunity to dust off the sleepy town, population less than 300, and give it new life. One initiative focusing on Wardenville's youth.
We knew that if we had a program that could create opportunities for youth, that we could bring something to the table.
It teaches you responsibility, and you got to get here on time. This is your job. You're supposed to work. And so it's taught me a lot of responsibility, I think. And I've seen that in myself, and it makes me like working here a lot, especially on the farm.
The Wardensville Garden Market is built around the concept that if you give a man a fish, he eats for a day. If you teach him how to fish, he'll eat forever.
Food for me is the best way we can communicate across cultures. No matter who you are, where you come from, food is this catalyst for change and for growth and for understanding.
Down the road, another West Virginian is using food for change, Pupusaria Emerita. With $900 in her pocket, she moved to Moorefield with the dream of opening up a restaurant.
I liked this town. I came to this place through the church, and then I really liked it here.
The naturalized citizen from Honduras is part of a growing Hispanic community. The recent census found West Virginia is just one of four states that suffered a loss in population, but an increase in the Latino population.
And what makes me most glad is that people are humble. People are humble because it doesn't matter how they eat. If it's packed here, they'll just set up outside and then eat there because they really like pupusas.
Emerita bringing her recipes and her culture to these hills. West Virginia. As for the newest West Virginian to embark on the many twists and turns on those country roads, McPherson is excited for her new adventure.
I just think really it's the people that are drawing me to West Virginia, not just the beauty of the state, which is absolutely stunningly beautiful.
Both wild and wonderful, today's West Virginia hopes to be an incentive for those who are seeking a change of scenery. Kenneth Moten, ABC News, Washington.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. West Virginia wants you. Let's go. West Virginia. You know what's hilarious, though? I found this news article floating around the web. This is they've extended this call out. They want to give people $12,000 to go and move there and give them like some, you know, you can go zip lining or whatever the fuck. So then I went looking for some video footage about this same subject, and I found this video report. Only thing is, this news report that I just showed you is from last year.
Get the fuck out of here.
Apparently that new call, this new article that's just come out, I don't know. Like, did they not get anybody last year, or they only got that one bitch with the boxes? That's it? They didn't get nobody else? What the fuck is going on? Fun fact, West Virginia still the only, no, I think it is the final state that we have never performed a show in ever. Me, Mayday, for when we did the MERS Day album, MERS had never performed there, but apparently MERS did a show there, so he scratched it off his list. But for us, West Virginia, still the final state that we have never performed a fucking show in.
Get the fuck out of here.
Make some noise for them. Gia said they had her at Papoosas. I fuck with you on that. When I saw that lady, I was like, oh, I felt kind of at home. You know what I mean? Latin culture makes me feel very at home, obviously. So anyways, if anybody's interested, West Virginia Senate just passed a bill this Monday that will give you $25,000 in tax credits. I think they're upping the ante because last year nobody went. $25,000 in tax credits to former residents who moved back to the state to work. Oh, okay, so you had to be a resident already. Those eligible for the tax credit, you had to live and work in West Virginia for at least 10 years or were born in the state. Damn. Okay. Well, that's none of us. Unused portions of the credit would be applied to future tax years. Credit expires in 2029. But state officials have tried other cash enticements in the past few years, as we just saw, and they tried to beef up West Virginia's sagging population. The Department of Tourism offered $12,000 cash plus free passes for a host of outdoor adventures to remote workers to move to certain areas of the state. West Virginia lost a greater percentage of its residents than any other state from 2010 to 2020, when the population dropped 3.2%, or about 59,000 West Virginians. It's been such a problem due to long-term declines in the coal, steel, and other industries that West Virginia is now the only state with fewer residents than it had in 1950.
Get the fuck out of here!
West Virginia wants you! If any of you guys move out there, please let me know how it goes and let me visit you. And if you could find a bar or become a promoter and book me for a show, because I need to scratch West Virginia off my list. All right. There's like a couple, you know, provinces and shit we still haven't scratched off either. Like we came close to doing Alaska, but haven't done it. Haven't done Hawaii. You know what I'm saying? As far as like the real deal, like body of states, you know what I mean? The official, I'm pretty sure West Virginia is our fucking last one. Think, because we did Maine, you know, on one of our most recent tours, so like we're pretty fucking close. I'm pretty sure West Virginia, man, is the last one. We got to get out there. All right, What else do we got? Let's go from Charleston, West Virginia, where they are paying you money to move there, to let's go to, oh, fuck it, I don't know where this is. So let's go to the internet, where they will take your money for all kinds of stupid-ass reasons.
Get the fuck out of here!
During tax season, people are often using their tax returns to buy outrageous things, if you didn't already know, which I'm sure most of you do know. Normally, people buy, you know, an older model of luxury car, which they end up taking a loss on. Other times, people price themselves out by buying a new car that's out of their normal budget, and then they end up, you know, getting it repoed or whatever. However, there is a woman who just went viral on Facebook for buying a 1998 Ford Escort. All right, my car people, Denny, you know what I'm saying? That's a rare, you know what I mean? That's a rare gem, right? 1998 Ford Escort, that's a vintage. Apparently, it was under a horrible deal, and the internet is straight roasting this bitch. All right, not only is she paying over $200 a month for the car, she is paying that $200 a month for the next 7 years.
Get the fuck out
of here! Make some noise. Goddamn. Holy shit. Social media has highlighted that people spend too much time focusing on other people. That's a fact. Some people show off for the sake of impressing others. Meanwhile, other people show off for the sake of proving others wrong. In any case, there are people who spend their time making fun of people who are showing off. And those people are often liking themselves to be smarter than the ones showing off. But in all honesty, all of those kinds of people are misusing social media.
Get the fuck out of here!
Yeah. Denny says it's not a gem. This is not a gem. 1998 Ford Escort. This is not. Didn't Nicolas Cage drive this shit and Gone in 60 Seconds? Wasn't he like $200 a month for 7 years? All right. I did the math earlier. What was that, like 28 grand? Something like that. I'm terrible at math. Anyways, apparently the internet says a situation like this with the Ford Escort does deserve a second look. Anyone in need of a serviceable car should look at what this woman did and do the exact polar fucking opposite.
Get the fuck out of.
This woman purchased a car that can't be worth more than $1,500 market value, and she is spending less than $300 a month for her car, but the car is already 25 years old.
What? Get the fuck out of here. Are you kidding?
Lady's gone viral because of the promo post where she was kind of like saying, I got a new whip. What up? What's good? But she's making $289 monthly payments for the next 84 months, which is 7 years. Somebody do the math. What was the math on that? It was like, come on, somebody with a calculator. It's, you know what I'm saying? Hold up a second. I got me a calculator. Let's see. What did I say it was? It was $289 a month times, I should have done this before the show, but you know, I didn't have time to do research. $289 a month for 84 months, $24,276. Yeah.
Get the fuck out of
here. That's like, she could have bought like the, she wasn't that much shy of the fucking brand new Nissan Rogue we bought like 5 years ago. You know what I'm saying? All right. Well, that's what we call, ladies and gentlemen in the industry, an expensive escort.
Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, the internet is fun today. Let's go. All right, what else we got? We are going from Charleston, West Virginia, to the dumbest corner of the internet, to the dumbest corner of the world, where one of our own is sucking up to the evil empire, if you will. Let's check in with our last action hero. Oh, shit. Let's go to Russia for a split second, which nobody is saying right now. Russian President Vladimir Putin has given American actor Steven Seagal an Order of Friendship medal for his work in supporting his nation.
Get the fuck out of here!
Oh, yeah. Steven Seagal, 70 years old, described as the special representative of the Russian Foreign Ministry for Russian-American Humanitarian Relations. He was just given the medal for his work of Russian and foreign national policy aimed at the betterment of life for Russian people. Apparently, other noticeable recipients of the Russia Order of Friendship Medal have included former International Olympic Committee boss Jacques Roguet and Christine Lagarde, who's president of the European Central Bank and former managing director of the International Monetary Fund. The cousin of the late Queen Elizabeth II, Prince Michael of Kent, apparently returned his Order of Friendship Medal after Russia invaded Ukraine in February 2022. Something tells me old Steven Seagal is not going to be doing that.
Fuck out of here!
Putin handed him his official Russian passport after he became a citizen in 2016. Seagal is an American citizen by birthright, in case you didn't already know. But he was also made a citizen of Serbia in 2016.
Get the fuck out of here.
He's a fucking international man of mystery, old Steven Seagal. In October 2022, Seagal was given land by authorities in the prestigious Rublevka area near Moscow with a market value of 800 million rubles, which is 13.6 million.
Get the fuck out of here.
Goddamn. Stevie. Of course he's not going. You know what I mean? They gave him a $13 million fucking crib. I'll be like, yo, Russia, yeah. The land was awarded to Gorky Holding Company, which Seagal has a 26% stake in, and it intends to build an international center for martial arts on the site. Oh, he's going to build like his own little dojo. You know what I mean? His company received the land without bidding, and Moscow authorities said they made the decision because the company will create jobs as part of the facility's construction. Seagal... he's been a vocal supporter of Putin and Russia, if you didn't know, especially since the country's war efforts began a year ago against Ukraine. He even called Putin, quote, one of the greatest world leaders, if not the greatest world leader alive today.
Get the fuck out of here!
Of course, Seagal's support of Russia's military actions in Ukraine have not come without international condemnation. In October last year, he was one of the six people recommended to be put under sanctions for his support of Russia and his approval of Putin's aggressive occupation policy. All right. Ukrainian MP Oleksiy. Holy shit. Ukrainian MP Oleksiy Gonchalarenko also co-signed the letter and said at the time that sanctions should be imposed on everyone who serves the Putin regime, not just Steven Seagal. Also, Steven Seagal's movie Suck My
Get
Ukrainian
the fuck out of here.
Fuck Under Siege. Whack ass shit. Putin has such a favorite pastime, former politicians, famous actors, musicians to involve in his propaganda. He gives a lot of money, and for this he asks to promote his narratives or put these famous people in high positions in state-owned companies in Russia. And one of our own, one of our greatest, if you're listening to just the audio, you can't see my facial expression, but one of the greatest has now become full Russia, baby.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right, they can fucking have him. All right, Steven Seagal, they can keep him. All right, we're good. We're good with Steven Seagal. All right, let's. All right, we don't need to worry about snowflakes in Russia. We need to worry about snowflakes back home.
You seriously mad because we cleaned off your sidewalk? Your sidewalk? So you mad because we cleaned off your sidewalk? We're helping you. We're like, you mad because we cleaned off your sidewalk. We cleaned off your sidewalk. It's a public sidewalk. We cleaned it off for you.
With Jelly. There. Jelly and Tanya.
Hey.
Are you that upset?
What would Jesus do? If you're a real Christian, you
okay.
Have to be.
I don't know.
Call the police.
Yes, I will.
So you calling? What are you calling the police for?
Property.
Put them on speaker.
This is the sidewalk. This is a public sidewalk.
Put them on speaker.
This is a public sidewalk, ma'am. I don't know if you own this home, but it's a public sidewalk.
Get out of my way.
Y'all, she calling the police because we did this part of the sidewalk, and she just shoveled the snow back onto the sidewalk.
Yes.
She upset because we did the public sidewalk.
Is this neighbor here, Jay?
Yeah.
And somebody else that I don't know. Bothering me and.
Tell them what we did.
Huh?
Tell them what we did.
No, don't say it, Anja.
13-10-19 Street. Correct. Go.
They'll come faster if you say it's two niggers over here.
This is a house, sir. My name is Bruni.
We ain't doing nothing but doing no driveway, man. It's crazy. She called the police because we did the public sidewalk, and she said we trespass.
Facebook Live?
No, I ain't even Facebook Live. I'm just recording it for my own thing. Then I'm going to put it on Facebook. Then I'm going to put it on TikTok. I'm going to put it on every social media site that it is.
I don't want to make him a problem. I give him time. No, no, sir. Yeah, African-American and different.
Is that a problem?
They gonna
yes,
ask.
Please, you don't respect. Please, I don't want to argue.
No, I'm just asking. Ask,
Jay,
asked
Jay, leave it, leave it alone, Jay.
Leave, on,
leave it
problem.
Alone, Jay. Leave it alone. She want to cry. They ask. They the people legitly on the other side of the line. Whoever answers the police call say, "What color are they?" African American. Yeah, that's why she said African American. Why does it matter what color who is? If we causing a public disturbance for any reason, what does it matter what color the person is? She not being physically harmed. She not being harmed mentally, physically, or emotionally.
Excuse me?
She just upset at the fact that we did the sideway.
Ask him what's the crime.
For real. What's the crime?
He didn't know. He's taking a movie, taking pictures. Someone that I don't know. Someone that just came to help his friend.
To do the driveway. To shovel the driveway in a public sidewalk.
Officer, I need help or I am going to get a... Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Get the fuck out of here.
This dumbass bitch. Oh, God. Stop calling the police for no fucking reason. What is wrong with y'all? What is wrong with y'all? Then everybody wonders why the cops show up and they're all like irate and just fucking doing dumb shit. You know what I'm saying? Because they have to deal with shit like this all day. It's like being an elementary school teacher. You know what I'm saying? They're getting called out for the dumbest shit throughout the day. Like, it must be fucking infuriating having to deal with this kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. The article says a TikTok video went viral after a white woman. And I was like, well, first of all, she's like Latin. Obviously, she could barely speak English. Like, that was my favorite part of the video, is that she's trying to like put it all together, but she can't speak English properly. Like, she can't. She's obviously not fluent in English. It's her second language and shit. So she's trying to say shit, but she don't know the right words to say. So she's already saying shit that's wrong. So it's just like trying to put that together was already hilarious. Basically, this is Gregory McAdery, who put this video up on his TikTok, and in an interview with the Daily Beast said him and his friend, they got a snow removal business in Rockford, Illinois. He explained that they finished clearing his friend's father's driveway next door, then moved on to the sidewalk in front of the neighbor's house. That's when the neighbor came out and basically started threatening to call the police. Basically what ended up happening was the police ended up coming, and then when they came, once they heard the whole story, they offered to these two guys, do you want to press charges? And I got to commend these dudes because they're above, you know, they're above the bullshit, because they said no. They said they didn't want to press charges, which they should have. They should have pressed charges on this dumbass lady. This lady needs to know she can't just call the police for no fucking reason. You know what I'm saying? So apparently what happened was they said, do you want to press charges? The guy said, no, we just want to give her a warning. Like, yo, she can't keep doing this. Because I guess they have already a history of kind of like altercations. Because he was like, if something like this happens again, I'm going to press charges on her to the full extent of the law. But I felt like at this point already, you might as well just teach her a lesson. Fuck that. You seems like you already had a problem with her. You're definitely going to have a problem with her again. You know what I'm saying? You could tell the cops were like, oh, God, here we go. And the one thing I will say is, they were saying, like, why she said African-American or whatever. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, is it not, like, proper police protocol to just ask for a description of, like, when somebody says they're having an altercation with somebody, you need a description before you pull up on site to know what the people look like that you're looking for. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that was, like, innately just racist off the gate, but I just thought, oh, okay, no, I mean, they're asking for a description, and then she said African-American, and then she said, well, the funny shit was, she, I don't know what the fuck she was trying to say, but she was like, African-American and, a different.
Get the fuck out of here.
Different from who, bitch? What do you mean different? Wait, I don't get it. What did you mean he was different? I don't understand. Okay, anyway. Well, the good news of the story is nothing happened to these guys for who were just fucking shoveling snow off a goddamn sidewalk. And hopefully we'll get an update that this woman here gets some charges pressed on her at some point, because she's acting like a dumb bitch.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's all I got to say about that. All right. Let's see. Let's go to safer place. Like, there's got to be a safer neighborhood out there, or like somewhere else we can go where normal things are happening. You know what I'm saying?
Now, police in North Las Vegas are asking for your help finding a person of interest in an armed robbery. They say the crime happened on November 30th at a business on Aliante near the 215. The man was said to be carrying a purse while dressed as a woman. He was last seen driving a lighter colored Kia Optima. If you recognize the person in that video or photos, you are asked to give North Las Vegas Police a call. You can also leave a tip anonymously by calling Crime Stoppers. The number is right there on your screen.
Get the fuck out of here!
Armed robber looks like a lady. Ah. Oh, the picture. The picture is fucking glorious. Ah, this dude is dressed with a mask, like a COVID mask or whatever, and 95 or whatever, and then a black hoodie. The thing is, like, they said he's dressed like a woman, but he don't really look like he's dressed like a woman. He's just carrying a purse. It's like the laziest fucking dress up ever. You know what I'm saying? He got a purple purse, but then what else about him is, I don't know, is that a skirt? It looks like jeans to me in the picture, and then looks like a hoodie. It looks like a jacket that I own for real. I was making me question my wardrobe choices and shit. But apparently, I don't know if this is exact, like, if that's, I don't know what I'm missing about this outfit that he's dressed up a woman, but they said he's dressed up as a woman, all right? Spencer's in the chat. Spencer says that he would fuck this guy. Or this guy, woman. Oh god, dude looks like a lady. What a great disguise. You really killed it, bruh. You're a fucking genius. We have this thing at the end of every season or year on this show, sir, ma'am, and I just want to let you know that you've won. You have won the chance to be on our criminal superlatives for 2023.
Get the fuck out of here.
Not the cross-dressing armed robber, Mrs. Doesfire, all right? okay. All right. Oh, what a world. What a world. Take me down to the paradise city where the armed robbers ain't got no titties. It did not say what they stole. No, it did not. It didn't say what he stole. It just said that they committed an armed robbery. But something, what I think it was, that guy dressed up like a woman stole, I think it was our hearts.
Okay, so I think you should use this idea for your Florida segment and get the out of here. So I came up with get on the Florida, because when the cops come arrest you with their handcuffs, they're like, get on the floor so that they can put the handcuffs on. And since it's about Florida and all the crazy stuff that happens there, which is usually involved with the cops, so get on the Florida is Florida. And also, get on Florida. I mean, get on the floor. So I think you should use it because I'm smart. Get on the floor.
Oh, shit. Wrong button. I like doing this show. This show keeps me humble. You know what I'm saying? Because I'll be like, yo, man, I got a new music video out. Shit's doing great, getting great hits on YouTube. Yo, man, just dropped a new single. You know, this shit's like fucking doing great, great streaming numbers, whatever. Oh, we just did a tour, or whatever. But then in podcast world, I'm like a fucking scrub.
Get the fuck out of here.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like I come do this. It's like starting out at started from the bottom. Now I'm still at the bottom. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I got you guys, though. That's all that matters. Just know that when you support something that someone does, when there's a small number of supporters, you are, like, counted as triple. You're counted as, like, 10 times for one supporter. So, I fucking love you guys. All right. What I gotta really do, though, is I gotta get out here and get some fish down here in Florida. Because if you didn't know, we have great fishing. you can catch, I got a lot of friends who fish down here, and it's the fishing is going great, the weather's going great, you know what I'm saying? It's a great time to visit some Florida action, and you can even catch, like, extinct species if you want.
We're back with a rare and unique fish in Florida's waters, and few of us have ever seen it in the wild. The small-toothed sawfish has been a protected species in our state for more than 30 years now.
And only local 10's Janine Stanwood has body camera footage showing the arrest of two South Florida men who allegedly caught one and are now facing serious charges.
Hey, come here.
They saw some activity out here that was a little suspicious to them. They saw some flashlights in the mangroves.
FWC, come here.
Body camera video shows Florida Fish and Wildlife officers approaching men in the mangroves in Everglades City. Part of the boat is spray painted black.
Trying to stay concealed, yeah.
Don't move. Hey, don't move. Stay right there.
The net was in the stern of the vessel. They had a white cooler in here.
Mullet. Snook.
In the cooler, officers say they first see undersized fish.
Listen to me, okay? Turn around. All right, put your hands behind your back.
But then, a shocking discovery.
Sawfish in here, too. Yep.
A rare, endangered, and unique-looking creature called a small-toothed sawfish. If you catch one by accident, by law, you have to release it unharmed.
It does have the features similar to a shark, the dorsal fins and the side-to-side tail.
So this is the sawfish that was recovered. You can see it really looks like a cross between a ray and a shark. This is the rostrum, which is that saw-like snout. There really isn't anything like this in our Florida waters.
The small-toothed sawfish is a critically endangered species.
Dr. Neil Hammerschlag with the University of Miami says the sawfish used to be relatively abundant in Florida 100 years ago, but the population has plummeted.
They were hunted historically for trophies. I mean, they get to be really large, and then they've got this saw, which, you know, became a collector's item.
But he says the biggest threat wasn't hunting, it's these nets called gill nets, which are no longer legal, so people make them by hand.
Sawfish were getting entangled in gill nets because of that long saw that they have on their nose.
FWC says that's what the men in Everglades City were using. We were with officers as they measured its size.
From across the bay here, they could see subjects were what's called striking, throwing a net, a gill net, or entanglement net into the water.
If you think about what a sawfish looks like, you know, it's got this huge rostrum that is essentially going to make it like catch on and get entangled in those nets, and they'll wrap around and then they can't swim, and it could potentially, you know, obviously lead to death. And this is really problematic when you're talking about, you know, a critically endangered species.
We went to the listed addresses for the men arrested here in Miami, but no one wanted to talk. Geraldo Amador and Pablo Condi face charges including possessing fish over the legal limit, using any legal net in state waters, and taking an endangered species. Scientists and wildlife experts tell us protections for the sawfish are in place for a reason.
One of the big things that have helped sawfish is the ban on commercial gillnet fishing. Particularly in Everglades National Park, if you protect them properly, you will hopefully see a rebound. That's the whole idea.
Every one member of the species counts if we're going to have a recovery.
In Everglades City, Janine Stanwood, Local 10 News.
And the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission says the case is still pending and is being continued in court, and the next hearing is scheduled for March 31st.
Get the fuck out of here!
Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. You knew what you was doing. You was like, oh, we got us one of these rare foot. Look at this thing. Like, this thing doesn't look like it belongs in the bucket. You knew what you was doing. Come on, buddy. When I see shit like that, man, I'm not even, like, the biggest, like, animal activist or whatever. Like, you know, I respect the animals and shit. I'm just like, I'm not out there like Greta Thunberg or whatever being like, ah, save the soft fish or whatever. But yo, like, come on, man. I'm also not out here just catching shit and killing shit for no fucking reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, or maybe they had a reason. Either way, just respect the rules. Because this is why we can't have nice shit. This is why shit goes endangered, because humans ain't shit. It's fucked up. You know what I mean? What you gonna do? You gonna have sawfish, ceviche, and shit? No. You weren't. I don't know. What do you do with sawfish? Apparently, they were saying they just keep the saw part. Is the fish bomb? I don't. Didn't look delicious. It didn't look delicious at all. You know what I'm saying? I don't get it. I just don't understand it. I don't. Why is it got to be that way? So, what have we learned today so far? We've learned stop calling the police for no reason. All right. If you want to move to West Virginia, they'll pay you $12,000. And also, stop killing endangered species, you fucking assholes.
Get the fuck out of here.
Jesus Christ. Ridiculous. All right. Let's see here. Okay. All right. Things below the water in Florida, not getting off to a great start. But things above the water, gotta be better, right?
This lakefront showdown was caught on camera after a jet ski allegedly sped too close to a boat full of people.
It becomes a no-wake zone, and these jet skis just blew through it and kind of blew around them, and they said something to them as they were going into this narrow channel. And unfortunately, it progressed from there rapidly.
At one point, a group of about six jet skis surrounds the boat. Then the yelling turns violent. One of the jet skis rams into the back of the rented ski boat, damaging it. Then, according to witnesses, one of the jet skiers slapped one of the boaters. The victim was a 68-year-old woman.
I was floored, and I'm like, what kind of guy is going to do this? And I mean, a little old lady on a boat.
Back on land, deputies caught up with Juan Pareja.
Oh, don't question me, because I didn't do nothing wrong.
He tries arguing, saying he didn't slap the woman and that he was hit. But deputies arrest him and take him to jail.
Fortunately, he got caught. I hope the rest of his folks, you know, get brought into it and face some consequences for their actions.
In Lake County, Connor Hansen, Fox 35 News.
Get the fuck out of here.
Come on. What happened, my guy? What is going on? How does a day on the water, you know what I mean? I'm just going to go jet skiing with the guys. I'm going to drink beer or whatever. How does that turn into slapping a 68-year-old woman on a boat? I don't understand it. What is it about jet skis that make people act a stupid damn fool? You know what I mean? Like, there's never anyone like everyone's like a child when they get on a jet ski. It's like, oh, this is cool. This is fun. Yeah, this is kind of cool. And then like, oh, let's push it to the limit. What's the stupidest thing I could do on here? You know what I mean? People get injured. People get killed. People get into car accidents all the time with other boats. I was about to say car. And then apparently, if you're not too careful, you can end up slapping a 68-year-old woman because you shook her boat too much with the wake from your jet skis. I think they went through a zone they weren't supposed to be into, so they was really in the wrong. So basically, fuck those dudes.
Get the fuck out of here.
Come on now. You're making us look bad. You're making us look bad, guy. The motorbikes of the sea. Yeah, no doubt. We have like a, they're like, what do they call? They call manatees like the cattle of the sea. Jet skis are the motorbikes of the sea. It's true. That's very true. All right. Well, All right. So the water right now is not doing great for us. All right. Florida this week, our first two stories, the ocean, both under the water and above the water. It's not good. Not the best of humanity. I think we might have to go deeper into maybe like the jungle to find like something more redeeming from our Florida wildlife. Let's see what we got. Oh, shit. Do we have something? Oh, yeah.
This 17-page arrest affidavit details the federal case against Jesse James Rumson, a Citrus County man who the FBI says online sleuths dubbed the Sedation Panda after he appeared in several video clips and photos posted online showing him donning a large headpiece that appeared to be from a panda costume.
Now we have Sedation Panda, who made it very easy to identify him because he walks in with a panda suit, takes off his panda hat, and there he is.
Multiple photos show Rumson wearing the headpiece, lifting up the panda head, and carrying it in his arms down the street. This surveillance video shows the moment rioters make their way through the parliamentary door at the Capitol. Moments later, you can see a person wearing a panda headpiece, who investigators believe to be Rumson, walk into the Capitol holding a flag and carrying a backpack. According to the affidavit, investigators say these video stills show the moment right before Rumson walks in, showing him hopping over railings and climbing the stairs. According to investigators, he was among the first 20 rioters to enter the door after its breach.
We see now, 2 years later, arrests still being made. And it shows the government's kept their word to continue to locate, identify, and prosecute individuals involved in the January 6th riot at the Capitol. And what we see now is just another example of the government cracking down.
After entering the Capitol, federal investigators say at one point Rumson appears to lose the panda headpiece. After that point, you can clearly see his face in the remaining photos and videos. The Citrus County Sheriff's Office helped federal authorities arrest Rumson Monday. In a statement, Sheriff Mike Prendergast writes in part, quote, "Our office will always partner with both our state and federal partners to bring criminals to justice." Going on to say, quote, "Actions like that of Rumson impeded the rights of fellow citizens during a legislative session and goes against everything our nation stands for." And Rumson is facing a total of 8 different charges, including assault, disorderly conduct, obstruction of law enforcement, and engaging in physical violence in a restricted building, among other charges. He now joins the growing list of more than 900 people that have now been arrested in connection with the January 6th riot. Chris.
Get the fuck out of here.
Thank you, Jordan Bowen.
Rumson. Leave it to us. If there was going to be one man to go to the January 6th insurrection, January 6th riots, whatever, January 6th Freedom Fest, whatever you wanted to call it, if there's going to be one guy that goes and makes himself the most traceable, the most catchable, the most fuckable, you know what I mean? I mean, like, you know, by the government, not by us. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be fucking Florida. It's going to be Citrus County. It's going to be Rumson.
Get the fuck out of here.
Why the panda, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, does the panda represent freedom? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying didn't Trump's supporters hate China? You know what I'm saying? Why is this guy rocking a panda hat? Like, I feel like that was just, like, that boyish, like, oh, we're going to go do some shit we're not supposed to go do. I'm going to put a panda hat on. Ha, ha, ha. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't really make any sense. Like, was he making a statement with sedition panda head? I don't think he was. I really don't. What happened to the good old days, like, burning bras and doing LSD and, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I feel like protests used to be a little bit more meaningful, a little bit more creative. Sedition Panda, not so much. I didn't get, he's just not doing it for me. All right. Give me at least one redeeming story for Florida this week, please.
Well, I like to see people having a good time. It makes me feel good, you know, if I can put a smile on somebody's face.
Jeff Abbott is an artist on Pine Island. He spent the last 2 decades handcrafting dozens of real-life human pieces of art. And he has, I'd say, several dozen. Somehow they all made it through the hurricane without a scratch.
Pretty incredible. As NBC2's Gage Golding found out, now they are back to work with the most important job yet, spreading smiles.
There's a place on Pine Island that's full of people. Actually, there's enough for a party, from Queen Elizabeth to even Grandma. Curious as to why? Well, we were too.
It's kind of folk art meets fine art.
At first glance, you might not even realize that you're looking at art.
We got the golfer girls.
These sculptures are fondly referred to as the people. And why not? They look about as real as their creator, Jeff Abbott, turning heads and raising eyebrows for 23 years and counting.
Well, that's the auto mechanic. Oh, it's fun to take them to a parking lot at Publix or wherever and get him out and put him there.
These people have become part of Pine Island in the quiet little Boquilla Street they call home. Abbott doesn't promote his work, but people always end up finding their way to see them.
So I've become friends with a lot of people that come here.
If you couldn't tell by now, Jeff is just as creative as he is comedic.
This is for long-distance communication. Well, you got security. You got to have security these days. That's kind of a self-portrait. So you got pissed on or pissed off.
Where did it pop into your head to build something like this?
I don't know. I just do it.
You get my point, right? Each person has a story, dressed head to toe in detail. Well, Jeff has a story too. This all began when his wife was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
She's bedridden, so as a caregiver, I needed something to do.
Even with all the wild ideas, she's his biggest fan. When Hurricane Ian came around, there was a moment they didn't know if all these people would make it through. Miraculously, not a single one was damaged by the
Harrycane instead of a hurricane.
All jokes aside, his people have an impact on the people that call Pine Island home.
A lot of people say it's helped them feel better after the storm, so it makes me feel good, you know, that I can help out any way I can.
Jeff had no idea that some PVC pipes and a can of spray foam would lead to all this, but what he does know.
I try to encourage kids to stay, get involved in art, because, you know, art's a dying art.
I'm reporting local with the people on Boquilla tonight. Gage Golden, NBC2.
Yes, I fucking love this guy. This is the shit. I want to have him on the show as a guest. I want to go to his place and shoot a music video there. This is fucking amazing. Pine Island, let me fucking find out. Shit, I gotta go. Let me find out whatever he builds these creepy fucking paper mache looking people out of. They need to start building the whole city out of that shit because they all survived the hurricane and the hurricane fucked that area all the way up. So whatever he's building that shit out of, they need to holler at my guy because hello.
Get the fuck out of here.
This man has the secret. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, mom, this is close to your house. You need to go see this man. You know what I mean? You need to go check out the fine art. The fine art meets folk art, as he called it. I gotta go to this spot. I need to make a field trip. I need to go to People Island. I need to shoot video. Finally, a Florida story that doesn't make you fucking completely cringe your face. It's a miracle. It's all right. Art's a dying art. You didn't know art is a fucking dying art. Nah, but it's dope though. It makes people smile, and I fuck with that. All right, man's just making art, and then damn, dark turn. His wife has MS and shit, so he's like, I just wanted to do something creative to find something to do while I'm taking care of my wife. Man, give this man a fucking round of applause. Yeah, we gotta go. We gotta go. My mom says she's gonna go see him. We need to go. We need to make a trip to People Island. I wanna go. I wanna meet this guy. I wanna have a beer with that guy or a hard seltzer. All right. Okay, from a man in Florida that makes paper mache people, all right, to a man in Idaho who wishes there was some paper mache people around to kick it with. No, he's not Spencer from Idaho anymore. He's Spencer from Earth, and he's here to give us My Two Spents.
You recognize me. It's Spencer here, his biggest fan. I've seen every single episode of the podcast.
Hey, recognize Spencer here, a longtime caller. I've been calling him for years.
My Two Spents. It's My Two Spents. Two spins.
Oh, you got an opinion? Well, you can't have it, because it's my two spins. Spins, yeah.
What is up, y'all? Spencer from Earth here, back for another segment on the GTFOH podcast. It's your favorite. Probably not, but we're doing it anyway. Last week, I went over Billboard Charts top 50 rappers list. There was some egregious picks on it, but for the most part, I was okay with it. Uh-oh, here comes Odin. Uh-oh. He's thinking about it. He's going to jump behind me in a second. Some egregious picks on there. Lots of rappers missing that I would have picked. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes. You see him? There he is. Hi, Odin. Hello. Oh, Odin's gonna be in the segment today, y'all. Here, there he is. This is Odin. He's a cat. Okay, anyway. So after I did that segment, we went over Billboard's top 50 rappers list. I mostly agreed with it. It was mostly okay. I had people say, hey, Spencer, we want to hear your top rappers. We want to hear your top rapper list. Similarly to what Ruck was saying last week, if I were to do like a top 10 or a top 25 or a top 50 list, I would be breaking that shit down into mathematics, you know what I mean? I would go through each category and every rapper would get a score for each category, and I would have to tier out each category, and then I would average them all out, and it would be a lot of fucking work, and it would be really hard. I feel like I'd be spending a lot of time on it and probably not getting any closer to a good list that I feel good about. I'm always going to be like, but is he really number one? I don't know. You know, it's so subjective, and it just depends on the moment and time and so many different things. But what I decided to do instead was a tier list, okay? So we're going to put rappers into tiers, and I think that's a little bit more manageable, easier to do, and then we don't have to get into the specifics of this rapper's better than this rapper. It's just kind of like, you know, this rapper I feel is in this tier. This other rapper I thought was in this tier. You know, that's all. So, without further ado, here is the tier list. Hopefully you can see that okay. Obviously, if you're listening in on the podcast, you won't be able to see this. I'll do my best to walk you through it. So let me pull this up. So our bottom category is, it just says who. So basically, I don't know enough about this rapper to really give them a tier. I haven't listened to enough of their stuff. Some of these I've literally never heard of. I've never heard of MC Ride. I've never heard of Amini, if that's how you say that. I've never heard of YBN Namar. So some of these I've just never heard of. Above that is absolute trash. I just couldn't stand it. People like Lil Uzi Vert and Kodak Black, I put in absolute trash. I just can't get into it. Above that, we got bad. So just, they're bad. They're just not very good. I have Megan Thee Stallion, DaBaby. I put Travis Scott in bad. Maybe that's a hot take. I put Future in bad. Maybe that's a hot take. JPEG Mafia. I know some people really like JPEG. I wasn't feeling what I heard. And I'm always, you know, I'm not overly familiar with a lot of these rappers. I listen to a wide range of music, and rap something I listen to less and less these days, to be honest with you. But, you know, I'm going off what I could. I did listen to at least a few verses from everyone who's ranked, so I got at least a sense of where they were at. I listened to some of their most popular stuff, you know, stuff like that. So above bad, we have below average slash a few good songs, but mostly bad. These might be where the hot takes really start coming in. I put Dr. Dre in this category. We talked about this a little bit the last segment. He doesn't write his own raps. I don't really think he should count in like a top rappers list. He's a producer first and foremost, and that's great. And he's had a great influence on hip hop. No hate against Dr. Dre. I don't think he's a good rapper. Other rappers in here, Big Sean, NF, Rick Ross. Post Malone was on this list. I don't really view Post Malone as a rapper. He's more of a singer-songwriter. ASAP Ferg, Coolio, Eazy-E, Flo Rida, Lil Baby, Schoolboy Q. Maybe some of those are hot takes, but overall I put them in below average, a few good songs. I feel like Eazy-E is going to be the one that people come at me for. Similar reasons as Dr. Dre. He didn't write his own stuff, right? Ice Cube wrote everything for him. And then when I went and listened to some stuff, I just, you know, I wasn't really feeling it. So above that category, we have average slash not really my style. We got people like Common, Chance the Rapper, 50 Cent is in this tier. That might be a hot take. He's definitely got some good stuff, but overall not really my style. And I think after Get Rich or Die Trying, it wasn't that great. Juice WRLD's on here. I really like his freestyles, but his songs are okay. Macklemore, MGK, Nicki Minaj. Hot take, I put Snoop Dogg in average. I just think he's an average rapper. I think he's really overrated when it comes to rap. He really only has his one style and his one flow, and that's totally fine. And he's really influential. His lyrics aren't particularly good. His flow's not particularly interesting. Don't think he has a ton of creativity. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, that's the metrics I'm going off of. Flow, lyrics, creativity slash originality, and influence. Okay, so influence is maybe not as important as the other three. But that's kind of what I'm going off of, and I just don't think Snoop Dogg really hits those categories very well. I don't know. Some other rappers in here. Ice Cube's in here. Maybe that's a hot take. Drake is an average, not really my style. Maybe that's a hot take. I know a lot of people say Drake's one of the best. I don't see it. I think he's okay. He also uses ghostwriters, which I think is a pretty big hit. I think if you really want to be a top-tier rapper, you probably shouldn't be using ghostwriters. That's my thought. After that category, above that is good, but some hiccups. And now you can start to see the top of my list if that's what you're looking for. So now we have good, but some hiccups. I put people like Big Boy, Brockhampton, they had as an entire group. That was a little weird to me because obviously, like, there's varying levels of skill within Brockhampton. I think Kevin Abstract and Matt Champion are really good, but the rest of Brockhampton can be a little bit hit or miss. Busta Rhymes, Denzel Curry, Run DMC, DMX, Childish Gambino, GZA, Hobson, Joey Badass, Kid Cudi, Ludacris, Lupe Fiasco, Mac Miller, Method Man, RZA, T.I., Twista, will.i.am, G-Eazy, Missy Elliott. I put them in good but have some hiccups. I think that's pretty fair for all of those. Maybe some of those are hot takes. People like RZA, fantastic producer, one of my favorite producers for sure. His raps, he's got some great lyrics. I really love his cadence and his voice and his delivery. Method Man, super smooth, and you know, but I didn't quite think he crossed into the next tier. Next tier is Fantastic. So not quite in the GOAT material level, but very, very strong nonetheless. These are top tier rappers. Maybe not top 10 or whatever, but they're top tier rappers, you know what I mean? So we got MF Doom. MF Doom, I was really struggling if he was GOAT material or not. By the way, these two, Fantastic and GOAT material, I actually went in and tried to order them a little bit within the tier. So this order that I'm about to read them in is more or less how I feel they go in terms of skill and whatever. So for Fantastic, MF Doom, JID, J. Cole, or JID. I don't know if it's JID or JID. He calls himself JID, so I'm assuming it's JID. J. Cole, Nas, Old Dirty Bastard, Raekwon, Redman, Rakim, Tech N9ne, Lil Wayne, Tyler the Creator, Kanye, Ghostface Killah. That's my Fantastic list. I know some of those are maybe a little hot, like Nas not being in the top might be hot. MF Doom I really struggled with. Some people might say Kanye not being in the top is a hot take, but I don't know. He's super influential. He's got the flow. He's got the lyrics. He's got the creativity, originality, but I struggle with having him cross that threshold. If you're noticing, I did put ODB, Old Dirty Bastard, as my top Wu-Tang member. Raekwon was right behind him. And then Ghostface Killah is also in that list. That seems about right. Inspecta Deck wasn't on here. That's a little disappointing. Inspecta Deck I'd probably put in Fantastic. He's got some crazy verses. The Socrates Philosophies verse is pretty fucking fire. So, yeah, that was Fantastic. Feel pretty good about that. We're missing a lot of rappers in this list, you know. We don't have Black Thought. There was a couple others we pointed out where we're like, where's this person? I would like No Name on this list. There's lots of rappers we're missing. Obviously, Recognize isn't on this list. I didn't put the rappers who are on this list, if you're wondering. Recognize I would probably stick in the Fantastic tier. He's very strong. You know, he's got great flow. He's got the creativity, though I do sometimes think he just kind of hones in and he's just doing his thing. So sometimes I would like a little bit more of the originality or creativity or kind of just getting out of the box a little bit. You know, I'm always trying to look for that. Lyrics are pretty good. He's a good storyteller. Maybe could have more clever lyrics, maybe, but he's got some entendres and stuff like that. And unfortunately, he doesn't have influence, which isn't really a fault of his. I mean, if he was popular, he probably would have some influence. But yeah, I'd probably put Recognize somewhere in this Fantastic list. I prefer him as a rapper to Tech N9ne, so I'd probably put him like between Rakim and Tech N9ne, somewhere in that kind of area. Okay, and then without further ado, GOAT material. For number one, I put Kendrick. I feel pretty good about that. I mean, he's fucking very, very talented. Number two, Tupac. Number three, Eminem. Number four, Andre 3000. Number five, Jay-Z. Number six was Biggie. Number seven, Mos Def. I feel pretty good about that. If Black Thought was in this list, I would be putting Black Thought in here. I would probably put Black Thought... I'd probably put Black Thought, like, above Jay-Z. Maybe above Andre. Probably somewhere in there. Lots of rappers were missing, so... I don't know, I'm sure I'm going to forget a ton of people. Eric Jamal from Coast Contra, I would probably be putting in Fantastic. He's a really strong rapper. If you don't know Eric Jamal, you should check him out. Honestly, all the dudes in Coast Contra are really talented. They're certainly all at least good, but have some hiccups. Eric Jamal's my favorite. I think he's easily Fantastic. There's a ton of rappers that weren't on this. But this was kind of the best one I could find where it had their names, and it had a pretty good range of rappers. So this is the tier list. If you're watching, you can take a look and you can see some of these finer picks. I'm sure people are not going to like some of these. What are you going to do? Yeah, you know, whatever. It's my list. It's all my opinion. Hate it or love it. I don't know. Rec, what do you think about some of these picks? Do you agree with most of them? Do you think I should be putting Logic in GOAT material? Let me know. All right, y'all, that was it. Spencer from Earth out. See you next week. Love you.
Yeah. Hello. Mic check. All right. Thank you, Spence. Appreciate it, bro. I think it needs to just be restated because I don't think it came across in the segment for people watching right now and for people listening. That's not – Spence didn't generate the rappers on that list. Last week, he covered the Billboard Top 50 rappers list that they just came out with, and Spencer took the list that Billboard made, the rappers they put in, and he rearranged it as to what he how he thought it should go, the order of the rappers from Billboard's list. So that's not his list. It's a rearranging of Billboard's list, okay? Just so we're all on the same page. Is that right, Spencer? Do I have that right or no? Or you made your own list? No, that's Billboard's list, right? Now you're making me confused. Oh, that's not even Billboard's list? He said he found a tier list that had rappers on it. Okay. Okay, so that's just some other random ass list. Is that what we're saying? No wonder I was confused. Everybody's confused. So it's not Billboard's list, and it's not your list. It's just some random internet list? Is that what's happening here? I'm fucking lost. Okay, well, either way, it wasn't Spencer's list. So if you're going to bring pitchforks out, don't come for Spencer. Don't come for this show. The opinions of Spencer are not the opinions of Recognize or the GTFOH
Get
podcast.
Get the fuck out of here.
The tier list is putting us in tears. Oh, God. Yeah. You know what's funny is I think I like to be like, yeah, I'm good at what I do and yada yada, but I never feel like putting my name into the hat for any of those conversations. I don't know. I feel like I always just have so much more to prove. That's why I try to just focus on that. I don't really want to be a part of those lists. I don't feel like I've earned it yet. You know what I mean? I want to really solidify a spot in the list 20 years from now. You'd be like, yo, this motherfucker's been killing it for 40 years. He raps real good and put out a ton of records and make it undeniable. I don't want it to just be what it is now. So don't worry about shoving me into that list. It's fine. You don't even have to put me on there at all because I want to sneak attack motherfuckers and be like, let's go. Here I am. Goat material. Yeah, the list, I had a few objections on that list, but it's cool. It's cool. We're not going to get into that conversation now. We're going to keep it moving because that's what we're fucking here to do.
Get the fuck out of here.
Thank you, Spencer. We appreciate you. You're the man. Thank you for offering your insights and your two Spence. Where would we be without your two Spence? We'd probably be in the same exact fucking place we're in right now, but that's fine. It's good to have your two Spence on the show. So Denny says, I got to put my name on the list. Don't worry, I'm working on it. Every time I put a record out, that's me just slowly sliding my name further into the list. Yeah, all right. All right, let's do this. We got a breakdown for this week. A homie of mine has been coming out to the shows in Salt Lake City, and I think this might be her first time ever dropping a line or anything for the show, and she's got this week's breakdown.
Hi, Rick. This is Charlotte, a.k.a. Sinful Skin Beauty. I was wondering if you would break down, against my better judgment. It has helped me through so many highs and lows in my life. No pun intended. I went against my better judgment with so many people in my life. And meeting you and the rest of my days, Burns, Noms, you boys will always be the highlight of my life. And we all, after all, we have lifetimes to go, and I figured I would love to hear that one broke down because I was with someone that beat the living shit out of me. I'm not trying to go into detail, but that song got me through as much as any other song you guys released. That one's just my personal favorite. Thank you, and stay blessed.
Against my better judgment, I'm back where I was. Was this what you want? Against my better judgment, I'ma see you again. And I don't know where I'll be. Against my better judgment, I'ma let you back in. cause I don't know what else to do. Will you help me through? There's so much that I've got to lose, and it all starts with you. It all starts with you. Go me, what'll become of me then? Say I just walk away, and it could just start again. I've been addicted to all of your lies, cause the truth is I'm broken within. Little that I can remember, I try and forget before I go to bed. As soon as I see you here, I need to escape you again. Cause I don't know what else to do. Against my better judgment, I'm back where I was. Was this what you want? Against my better judgment, I'ma see you again. And I don't know where I'll be. Against my better judgment, I'ma let you back in. Cause I don't know what else to do. Will you help me through? There's so much that I've got to lose, and it all starts with you. It all starts with you. Another bottle on the mind, but it bothers me that I'm just leaning on the side of substance. Like it's modeling my pride and stopping me from prime. I've given not a single fuck since. My friends are burning memories away while I just keep on drowning in my stress. And we said it's right to die, but we're all high whenever life is wrapped. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, man, that song, Charlotte, that song is definitely, like, when people always ask me what my favorite song we've ever done is, like, that, I don't say a favorite, but that one is definitely in my, like, top, I don't know, it's easily in my top 10 songs we've ever done. Definitely one of the songs I'm most proud of writing. I love the production on it. They did a great job with the video. I was really disappointed the video didn't do more. I don't know why, but I'm always like the first one to say that I just felt the video should have done more. I thought the video was really well done and put out at a time like when it hadn't really quite yet like become like mainstream media news about like the opioid epidemic. And the director of the video, who's done a bunch of videos with us while we were on Strange, lost a friend to opioid overdose, and he really wanted to make that video you know, as like basically as a tribute to his friend that he'd lost. And when he heard the song, he was like, he asked us if he could do that concept, and we were like, yeah, let's go, let's do it. But the song itself, the production is by Beatnik and K Salam, who did man, they've done for me solo, they did Float, they did Typical, they did Better Things, they did Can't Be Alone. For Mayday, they did Better Against My Better Judgment, they did Something in the Air. I feel like they did one other Mayday one that I can't think of right now. But they've done a ton of records. I worked with them on my first record deal ever. Those dudes are super, super fucking talented. And that beat was amazing. When he gave it to us, it was damn near like, I think we rearranged it slightly, but like the parts were all there. It was a fucking opus already. All we had to do was write to it, you know what I mean? Like, so it was a joy to work on it, and we were coming up with ideas for it, kind of tossing ideas around while we were on the road. I don't remember exactly what tour it was now. I'd have to like look at the calendar to be sure, but it was one of those solo tours of ours that we were doing in between like Tech N9ne tours on while we were on Strange. And we actually had a day off in a hotel room. We weren't at home, we weren't in a big studio, $1 million studio or no shit like that. We were in a fucking like, I don't know, like a Ramada Inn or a fucking like a Homewood Suites or some shit like that. It was one of the ones where they got a kitchen in the room, like a what's the fucking place called, something Suites, Town Place Suites or some shit. It's one of those. We're in a hotel room in like North Carolina or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. I think I'm like, it says it in the album liner notes. It says what city we were in. I'm pretty sure it was somewhere in North Carolina. And we, Bern and I, just sat there kicking ideas around, and it kind of came up as an idea of like of a relationship, you know, a comment on relationships. And what I told him was I just really didn't want to do it just solely about relationships. I was like, what if we can kind of make it about substance abuse, you know what I mean, like about addiction really more than anything, but not make it so on the nose about addiction, make it so that even people could just sing it about a relationship, people could just sing it about something that they just need to quit, you know, like I didn't want to like pigeonhole us into one specific thing. Always like when you try to tackle a topic that's weighty like that, I find it's just more enjoyable to try and make it broad, the appeal broader, so it could relate to anyone. You don't have to have had experience with substance abuse to relate to that song. You could have a shitty relationship, you could have a shitty friendship, you could have, you know, a shitty job, like anything, you know. So I just wanted to make it more relatable in that sense. And we wrote and recorded that whole thing in one sitting, one afternoon on a day off on fucking tour. And we never re-recorded any of those vocals. All those vocals from that track are the ones we cut in that hotel room that day. I don't think we ever even had to cut anything else. We did it all in that one afternoon. It was fucking magical. It was just glorious. I can remember how the room looked. I can remember the vibe. And when we were finished with that shit, I was like, this is special. This is magic. I love it. And the song, I can't remember now, but I feel like the song had a different format slightly. We wanted the song to be a little bit longer, but A&R at the time at Strange urged us to cut the song down to make it radio friendly, because he felt like what we felt was that it had a lot of commercial viability. So they made us fuck around with the format or the length a little bit. So there's like three versions of that song with different arrangements that have never been heard. And we had to go through all this trouble to finally like figure out these different versions, and then no radio campaign ever like came to be for that song that I can remember, or it didn't pick up any traction, so we didn't run with it. And to me, it's just like still at the end of the day, one of the songs I'm most proud of. I still bump that shit on the regular. I always want to add it to our live set at one point. I want to fucking do that shit on a live Mayday show, and it'll be what I consider to be one of our most underrated records of all time. Like, hands down. No question. So, Yeah, I'm gonna have to see if I dig up those alternate cuts and see if they're interesting enough to for you guys to get a hold of them. Because Wrecking Crew, if they are interesting, you know, you already know I got you. I'll put them in the vault, and you guys can check them out and bump them at will. I just need to go back and see how different they were, because I know there was variations. I just don't know if they were slight or if they were enough to be like, wow, this is very, you know, this is a different vibe. But anyway, thank you, Charlotte, for the breakdown request. That was a good one. I love listening to that record. That last bridge of that song. I don't need you to tell me the time. Don't you worry, because I'm doing just fine. To find you, I must lose you. But it feels worse than losing it all is my shit. I fucking love that shit. The harmonies, the breakdown of the production. Fucking love that shit. Super proud of that song. Charlotte, appreciate you. Thank you, Sinful Skin Beauty, for fucking repping. We'll see you in Salt Lake City on the next run. But it feels worse than losing it all. Against my better judgment. Against my better judgment. All right, let's do this. I thought he wasn't going to make it for the show, but he made it. So we can have our final segment of the episode. Wise words from the Dolly Gagne.
What up, Rec? Wanted to share a little story. The tagline to the show, that's been comedic gold for me since you sent me the file bite. So at work, we have this system that we use for punching on the vehicles, locating to work, and it has an embedded email program. And you can attach a sound to it. So when I got that file, I uploaded that as my email notification. So anytime someone emails me through the program, I get...
Get the fuck out of here!
And it has been nothing but comedic gold ever since. One time, I had a disagreement with my boss, and basically it was over pay. He took away an hour and had given me zero explanation as to why. So naturally, I texted him on his day off and told him to fix it, which he wasn't too impressed with. So Monday, when he came into work, he phoned me and he said, yeah, I don't owe you an explanation for the lost time. And I says, well, you do. And we went back and forth and he said, well, I don't appreciate you texting me on my day off with that tone. And I says, well, I don't appreciate you stealing an hour of my time without an explanation. And he didn't like that answer and he hung up on me. He's about a 2-minute walk from my bay where his office is, but he made it down in about 30 seconds. So we have it out in my bay. All the techs that work down with me are listening to me basically tell my boss to go fuck himself. And eventually, at one point, it came down to I had made my point to him, like, if you're going to take an hour away, there has to be a clear explanation. And this guy was just going to die on that hill. I don't have to explain nothing to you. And I'm like, well, then what else can I say to you? And right at that very moment, someone emailed me, get the fuck out of here. So I looked them straight in the eye and put my hands up in the air, like, get the fuck out of here. And then he just ended up leaving. So there's so many stories that I have where customers will walk in and be like, oh, do you know where this is? And someone emails me and it's like someone yells out, get the fuck out of here. And it's you, of course. But it's funny because I've got it hooked up to my speaker system. So it ends up echoing through the shop pretty good. So thanks for that amazing soundbite. And basically, it's takes the edge off of working sometimes. Anyways, love you. Love the show. Can't wait to see you guys play in Vegas. So, Gagne out.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Tight. Danny, I'm going to get you in trouble at work, man. Shit. Let me find out. What the fuck? Damn, I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, one day that's just going to get you in trouble or something. I don't know what the ethos of the job is, but I feel like at some point that's going to, maybe, I don't know, Canadians don't really get offended that easy. Everyone's probably like, ah, hey, fuck it. That's hilarious, by the way. Shout out to Denny and his wonderful email notification sound that rings all across the, excuse me, ma'am. Yes, your 1998 Ford Escort is ready.
Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, classic. You gotta love it. Episode 66. Escort Panda, it's been real. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you were tuning in live on Twitch, I really appreciate you working my way up to affiliate status. Maybe I'll get there one day. I don't know. I'm going to have to do like a week of Surge shows every day to get there, but it's fine. Heading to 1,000 subscribers on, or 1,000 followers rather, on Twitch. We got our YouTube channel. You can watch all the replays on YouTube. You can also watch video on Spotify. Rate us, like us, comment, do all the things. You already know what it is. I fucking love y'all. In case you didn't know, let me do some shameless recognized plugs. A brand new single called Line in the Sand just dropped on Friday. It's on pace to break my streaming single record since I became an independent artist. Let's go. Beautiful. Chef's kiss. And besides all the stat keeping bullshit, it is an important record about an important, you know, story that you need to hear about. It's current and relevant to shit that's going on in the world. So please take a listen to Line in the Sand. Also, on Wednesday, we dropped the Snowfall video on my YouTube channel. It's the first live action video with myself in it for a song I've done in like a year. So that is also doing really well. So thank you for everyone for watching that, dropping a like and a comment and all that. More to come, more releases, more Mayday news on the way. Some live shows are in the works, some events for the end of the year. You can keep totally tuned in with everything and get extra bonus material by joining the Wrecking Crew at patreon.com/recognize. In the meantime, though, I fucking love y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in. Episode 66 is a wrap, which means there's only one thing left to do, and that is play the song.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend.
All right, people. Time to go home. Yep. Losing time. We're ready to head on out. So let's go.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Now you're making me mad. You're gonna make me swear.
Get the fuck out of here. Finish up that beer.
You might as well call it a night, my friend. You're gonna have to
get the fuck out.
You heard me. So long, arrivederci, sayonara.
Get the fuck out.
Ciao, good night.
Bye bye, so long. Farewell. Yes,
see you later,
out.
Alligator. In a while, crocodile,
get
shaking now. Get the fuck out.
Get the
fuck out of here.
Get the
come
fuck
on, give me a
out.
Fucking break.
Can I get a refill, please?
Hey,
get
you
fuck
face, get out of here. What are you fucking
get
got?
The fuck out.
Yeah, you.
The GTFOH Podcast. Learn more at thegtfohpodcast.com.
Just what the world needed, one more podcast.
Get the fuck out of here!